I'm glad he'll take us through the fire. Amen. I appreciate these young ladies being with us tonight. They're blessing. I'm sure they have CDs with them. You need to see them after the service. It'll be a blessing to them. But it's come time for preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Alan Fox. If you'll be coming on around, he pastors Poplar Springs Baptist Church here in our county. And they are a part of camp meeting. They are my home church, the church that ordained me. And I appreciate their pastor tonight. And he is a blessing to my life. He is a very knowledgeable man, and he's a very gracious man. And I appreciate and love him. Appreciate how the Lord has used him there and is using him. I want you to preach for us tonight, Brother Alan. Amen. I love you. Appreciate that singing this morning, too. They'll run the light for you back there.
1 Samuel chapter 18. Please, in your Bible for just a few minutes. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I'd like to pick up reading at verse number 6 and be brief tonight. I love camp meeting. And camp meeting has been going on in North Carolina anyway since the mid-1750s, I believe. So God's people have been meeting like this for a long time. Still doing it. Still doing it. We need all the preaching we can get. Need all the help we can get. We sure do. I love it. I appreciate it. I love Brother Steve, Amen. Brother Rule, Brother Jamie. They're my friends, and I love them. And I love God's people. I love God's men, don't you? Amen. Amen. It's one way you know you're saved. When people say to me, I don't know if I'm saved or not, first thing I always say is, do you love God's people? Because the Bible says we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's a good sign. There are many evidences, and that's one of them. I'll be brief tonight. I know this is the message upon my heart. I've known for really a few weeks, and so I'm sure I hope it'll be a help to somebody. You may not need this message tonight, but somewhere along the line you will. So you just might want to put it for later reference. 1 Samuel 18, in your Bible, please, at verse 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, David hath slain his thousands, or rather Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Yes. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. I'd like to preach tonight by the help of the Lord for a few moments on the subject, what to do when you're outdone. What to do when you're outdone. Saul has done well. He's slain thousands, but David has done better. He has slain 10,000s. And he's got to choose whether he's going to give in to envy and jealousy or not. And sadly, he gives in, as you know, and it's all downhill from here. And I'd like to preach tonight on how to overcome this green-eyed monster of jealousy and envy that we find so prevalent in our churches and our hearts today. Four don'ts and four do's, and I'll be done. I'll be done. I don't preach long. I only preach 20 minutes Sunday. I don't preach long. So if you do, that's fine. But I just preach till I get done. I want to hear Brother Kevin tonight. But I want to be a help to somebody too. Number one, how to overcome the green-eyed monster of jealousy. Number one, don't ever compare yourself with anybody.
Amen.
That's a mistake.
Yes, sir.
For one thing, you always convince yourself you're just a tad better than he is. Even if you're not, because you got an old nature that tells you you're just a little bit sharper than everybody else in the toolbox. And so you'll delude yourself. Don't ever come. The Bible says, and they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves were not wise. Amen. It is not a wise thing to say, well, I'm a better singer. I'm a better Sunday school teacher. I'm a better preacher. You better watch out because you're going to meet your match. And then you're going to get envious, and then you're going to be worth nothing.
Amen.
Don't ever compare yourself with anybody. And remember, only God knows the whole story. You may have seen somebody in public for an hour, but you don't know how that fellow lives 99.9% of the rest of the time.
Amen.
You don't know the whole story.
Amen, brother.
No, so don't play God and act like you know everything about somebody when you don't.
Amen.
Just let God be God, and you just sweep off your own doorstep, and that'll keep you busy most of the time.
Amen.
And if God wanted you to be somebody else, he would have made you somebody else. Be you, because every other position is done took. So why don't you just be the best you that you can be, and that's all you have to do. Don't compare yourself. Don't tolerate that spirit of jealousy in your heart. It was for jealousy that Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him. It was for jealousy that Cain killed his brother. It was for jealousy that the religious leaders hated Jesus and delivered him to be crucified, because jealousy always leads to hatred and to strife and many times to murder. It wrinkles your brow. It steals your joy. It gnaws out your heart. Proverbs says, envy's the rottenness of the bones. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. So be careful about saying that somebody's bigger and somebody's better and somebody's greater. Those are dangerous words.
Amen.
Only God knows who's the greatest.
Amen.
Who's the biggest, who's the best. Don't worry about all that. They asked Vance Havner if he minded preaching when big preachers were present. Of course, he was a big preacher. But he said, I don't mind a bit. He said, if the man is a big preacher, it'll be easy to preach to him. He said, if he's not a big preacher, just thinks he is, he needs preaching. Amen. So don't ever be intimidated. Just tell what God's put on your heart and don't apologize for it. And do that wherever you go, by the way, wherever that you find yourself. And somebody may be able to preach better than you. That's fine. But remember this. If you're preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, though there may be 100,000 who can preach the gospel better than you, nobody can preach a better gospel than you're preaching. If you're preaching the truth, thank God, nobody but nobody can preach a better gospel. Thank God for that. So it's not in the eloquence of words anyway. So just do the best you can and let God have the glory. And by the way, camp meeting is not a sermon contest anyway. We came here to get help. We are not gathered here tonight to as critics in a sermon contest. Brother, we're here to seek God and have revival and get our hearts stirred to get to go out in this lost world and make a difference for Jesus. And I'm just trying to be the best me I can be, and that's what you ought to do. And don't tolerate that jealousy in your heart, and don't compare yourself with anybody else. Amen. And remember who it's all about anyway. It ain't about making a big name for you. It's not about you. Even the Holy Ghost steps aside and shines the light on the Son of God. Even the good Holy Ghost says, don't mind me. Don't look at me. Well, I will glorify him. It's about Jesus. If they don't see Jesus, if all they saw was you, then you failed. If all they saw was you when you sang, you failed. If all they saw was you when you witnessed, when you taught Sunday school, when you preached, then you failed. It's about magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not a popularity contest. It's about Jesus. Don't forget God's work is teamwork.
Amen.
Some people like to be the Lone Ranger, but it's about teamwork, brother. And if we're on God's team, then we're obligated to act like a team member and do what's best for the good of the whole team. You're supposed to stop every once in a while and say, what's good for the team? What'll help the whole church? Amen? And if it helps the church, it'll help your family. And if it helps your family, it'll help you. Amen. We need to have that mindset. I'm a team member. I'm going to do my part. And you don't always have to hit a home run. Just get on base and let somebody else hit the grand slam every now and then. Amen. Every run counts. Whether you just hit a single or somebody else hit the home run, thank God if you make it home, that's a score, praise God. Sometimes we strike out like Babe Ruth because we're always trying to hit a home run. Amen. Well, we're team members. We ought to encourage one another. We ought to cheer one another and bless and help one another. And when somebody else hits the home run, you be the first one off the bench to go out there and stand on the third base line and congratulate your team member. Because if you hit a home run, you want them to congratulate you. So you get out there and say, well done, buddy. You knocked her out of the park. That's right. That's right. Treat people like you want to be treated. That'd go a long ways. Well, that's the don'ts. When you're outdone, you know what you need to do? Ask God to give you the grace to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Yeah. We struggle with that. I mean, our old man wants to laugh when people have calamity. We want to say, oh, he deserved that, or wonder what he did. But Romans 12 says when a brother's weeping, you ought to be weeping too. When he's blessed, you ought to say, thank God. When he gets a brand new limousine, you ought to say, well, hallelujah for you. Ain't God good to you? Every now and then, by the way, you ought to stand up and testify and thank God for being so good to your neighbor. It don't always have to be about God being so good to you or God saving you. Quit thinking about you all the time. You got eye trouble. Is there another church growing faster than yours? Are you jealous? You ought to rejoice. Another church getting more people saved? You ought to say, well, thank God there's one more that don't have to go to hell. They can't all go to your church. It ain't big enough. They can't all go to your church. You can't pastor that many people. I mean, when somebody gets saved at another church, and if you can't holler hallelujah, you are a backslider with a big B. That's right. Amen. Well, sometimes you're going to be outdone. That's okay. Remember, there's a future. Okay, you hadn't wrote a book yet. Well, maybe you will in the future. Don't give up yet. Somebody else published their book, and the devil whispers in your ear, you know more than him. Wonder why you not writing books? Well, it ain't over. Okay, you hadn't made any CDs yet, but it ain't over. Quit looking backwards. Don't you know that the front view on a car is a whole lot bigger than the rear view mirror? Because you're supposed to do 50 times more looking forward than you are looking backwards.
Amen.
Well, you hadn't got on TV yet. It ain't over. I ain't give up on getting on TV yet. If all them quacks and 99% of them's a bunch of quacks, if they get on TV, why can't a Bible-believing Baptist get on TV? Amen. So there is a future, and you can still do all things through Christ. Don't say, I can't. When you say, I can't, the devil says, that's right. You roll over now and play dead and act like you ain't got a lick of sense. That's what the devil wants you to do. Give up and give out, but don't do it. There's too much at stake to give up. We're too close home, and the cross is too glorious, and Jesus is too wonderful for us to give up now. Don't give up now. And a lot of times these people who are critics anyway, they're not doing anything. Somebody said to Charles Alexander, I don't like the way you lead singing. He said, well, how do you lead singing? And the man said, I don't at all. And Charles Alexander said, I like the way I do it a lot better than I like the way you're not doing it. Hey, if you're doing something, you're going to fall every now and then. You're going to do something wrong because you are a human being. But I'd rather strike out for Jesus than hit a home run for the devil. As Theodore Roosevelt said, at least you're trying. It's not the critic that counts. It's the man in the arena. And though his efforts might be checkered with failure, thank God he knows the great endeavor. At least he's trying. My hat's off to anybody that's at least trying. Amen. That's the least we can do is try. Number three, and then I got one more point and I'm done. Be sure to bloom where God planted you. God knows where you are. He may not have put you on the boulevard, but thank God them March flowers, they'll bloom out in the woods too, where no human eye will ever see them. And they just say, God Almighty, this is where you put me, and I'm going to bloom where you put me. And if nobody knows me, and if my picture's not on the front page of the paper, and if I'm not known, that's okay, as long as I'm doing the will of God and pleasing you. Lord, I'll just bloom where you planted me. Just be faithful. You can be faithful and bloom where God puts you. And God's put us where we are for such a time. And we can do what D.L. Moody couldn't do, what F.B. Meyer couldn't do. We can do what Billy Sunday couldn't do, and that is stand for Jesus in this generation. In this time, for this time, and the challenge of these days. You may not be able to be a Paul, but you could be a Barnabas. You may not be a Moses, but you can be a Joshua. You can do something. Amen. You can give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. You can give away a Bible. You can invite your neighbor to church. Amen. You can pray for your preacher. If you ain't doing nothing, you ain't looking hard. You can be an encourager. You can smile. Won't break your face. It'll help your face value.
Amen.
You can be a rule fox. Amen. He don't have to say nothing. His presence here tonight says, this is right. That's right. His presence says, this is worth supporting. His presence says the old time religion is still alive in my heart. Brother Rules encouraged me for 35 years. Always a warm handshake and a smile and a prayer and an encouragement to my heart. Hallelujah. You can do that. There's not a, if I had one hair on my head that was envious, I'd yank it out and stomp it to death. Life is too small to be envious. Life is too small and too short to be critical, negative, and sour. I refuse.
Amen.
I refuse to live a selfish, carnal, critical life. And by the way, you hadn't got everything as figured out as you think you do. That's right. These men were in a taxidermy shop, very critical. They were looking at this eagle, and they were criticizing the eagle. They thought it had been stuffed. They said the proportions were not right, and the claws didn't look just right, and it didn't smell right, and they just thought it was the worst piece of taxidermy they'd ever seen. About that time, the eagle flew away. Yeah. So just remember, everything ain't quite as analyzed as you think you got it. That's right. Last of all, let brotherly love continue. Love will cover a multitude of sins. The thicker our love, the thinner others' faults, and vice versa as well. And love will forget offenses and harbor no bitterness and magnify the good. And there ain't nothing lovely about strife. And there ain't nothing lovely about envy. And there ain't nothing lovely about hatred. No wonder in art, anytime envy is depicted, it's a hideous creature with vulture claws and viper tongue. It's ugly. It's wicked. Envy is ambition perverted and self on the throne. God forbid. You say you're a Christian. That's a mighty poor kind of holiness that does not allow us to love one another. I like what the little boy said. He tried to run away from the orphanage, two brothers. And he escaped, but it wasn't long till the authorities caught up with him. And he'd been carrying his little brother on his back for a couple miles. They couldn't escape. They're just like 9 and 6 years old. And the policeman said to the boy when he got him, he said, "You can let your burden down. Let your brother down." He meant let your brother down off your back. "Let your burden down," he said. And the boy said to the officer, "That's no burden. That's my brother."
Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen.
Well, I wish we loved one another like we ought to. Next time somebody has a prayer request for you, don't say, "Oh, no, that's a burden." Say, "That's my brother. That could be me."
Amen.
And it probably was at some point in time.
Yep.
I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to encourage one another, Amen. Especially young Christians.
Surely.
When our granddaughter crawled forward for the first time, I forgot that it's easier for them to crawl backwards. It's easy to backslide. But when she crawled forward for the very first time, I said, "Woohoo!
Come on.
Yippee!
Amen.
Wonderful! Wonderful!" And God willing, the day that she walks, Grandpa's me saying, "Look at there! Look at that!
Amen.
Where's my phone? Let me video that. I can do that now." And when we get people saved in our churches, and when they stand up and testify, little 10-year-old boys, we ought to come to them after the service and hug their neck and say, "Woohoo! God bless you. I'm praying for you. I love you." And they're going to make a lot of mistakes like you did. But you be there and you help them and you show them what a Christian looks like. And when they shout and when they teach Sunday school and when they bring a friend to church, you say, "Well, glory to God, hallelujah, God bless you." Amen. That's what you do at the ball game, and that's what you do at the church. Encourage one another. Get that stinking envy out of your heart and encourage God's people. I wish we were as smart as the animals. Ants know how to work together. Bees know how to fly straight and spend their time making life sweet. Yes, sir. You know what eagles will do when one's molting or one's sick? The others will drop him down food. They don't say, "Well, look at him. Let's watch him die." They say, "Hey, brother, no, you're too sick. I'm going to drop you down a T-bone steak, and I'll be by same time tomorrow, and you're going to be all right." And you know what bees do when they have one that won't work, a hobo bee, they kick him out. I wish we was as smart as the birds. They don't quit singing even when they got a thorn in their side. They keep on singing even when they're in pain. And they don't ever change their song. They never, ever, ever change their song. That's right. They don't wake up one day and say, "You know, I think I'll add a little jazz to my singing today." No, they just keep on singing the song God gave them. Amen. Now, some people, they're like the sloth. They see everything upside down. You know anybody like that? And there's some people like the vultures. They only show up when something's dead. That's right. That's right. I'm finishing. Remember Saul. He never mastered himself. He never got rid of sin, so it got rid of him. He was insane. Speaking of insanity, the director of a mental institution was asked one time, a large mental institution, and I'm telling you this, I'm just relating something with the fullest respect. But he was asked, the director of a mental institution was asked if the residents really posed any danger of ever coming together as a large group and overthrowing the staff and causing damage or violence or anything like that. And the director said, "Never, never, never." He said, "Insane people never unite. They never get together. All they think about is themselves. Amen or oh me." What could we do if we really wanted to and if we joined our hands and hearts and let Jesus have all the credit? What could we do in our churches? What could we do? 3 months from tonight, you'll be putting on a pair of shoes and you'll find some shavings in them or in one of your pockets, and you'll remember camp meeting. And I hope you'll pray for the preachers and the churches. Amen. And I hope you'll be living a life that's absolutely free of envy and strife and hatred. Amen. You can. You can live that kind of life. And that's what God wants. Several months ago, one Sunday morning, I got a text from a preacher. And it said, "I just want you to know I'm praying for you today. And may God bless you, your family, and your church greatly today." I don't have the words to tell you what that means. The man that sent me that text is going to be preaching here in about 30 minutes. And that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be a partner and not a competitor.
Amen.
I want to be a servant and not a judge.
Thank God.
I want to be a member of the family and not an enemy. I want to be a Christian, don't you?
Amen.
Thank you for your good attention.
Amen.